This program was produced by and first broadcast on Community Radio Hamilton, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.communityradio.co.nz.
Hello and welcome to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. You could be listening on 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, online at communityradio.co.nz, or via iTunes and a variety of other podcast hosts. Today on the show, the subject is welfare versus abolition, and I'm going to be arguing in favour of the abolitionist approach to animal rights. I have five main points that I'm going to discuss. The first is that welfare reforms provide very little protection for animals. Secondly, the industry is moving towards welfare reforms anyway because they are economically efficient. Three, welfare reforms make the public feel better about exploiting animals. Four, we wouldn't promote humane child pornography, murder, rape, slavery, or any other human rights atrocity, so why do so with animal rights? And last, but certainly not least, welfareism accepts defeat before it even starts. They claim that no one's ever going to go vegan, but they don't really know that because there has never been a massive vegan movement on the same scale that there has been animal welfare. But before I get into any of that, I'm going to be playing a song by AFI, whose bass guitarist, whose electric guitarist Hunter and vocalist Davey are both vegan. That was Love Like Winter by AFI, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought, 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, online at communityradio.co.nz, or via iTunes and a variety of other podcast hosts. Today on the show, the subject is welfare versus abolition, and I will be arguing in favour of the abolitionist approach to animal rights. Now, my first problem with animal welfare is that it actually provides very little protection for animals. How much difference does it make to a pig whether they're in an individual sow stall or in a slightly larger sow stall with other pigs? These reforms do not get rid of cages, all they do is mean that more animals have to share a slightly larger cage. The move from battery-farmed eggs to cage-free eggs just means that instead of a few hens sharing a cage, lots of hens share a big cage. These welfare reforms do next to nothing for the animals, despite the millions of dollars they often cost, and if you had the most significant, and that's significant in quotes, welfare reform, i.e. the animals were completely free-range, then the animals are still killed at the end of their life, and they're still treated as nothing more than property, as nothing more than economic commodities. And no matter how well the animals are treated, that can never truly be described as humane. My second problem with animal welfare is that the industry is moving towards these welfare reforms anyway, so it's actually pointless that animal advocates are going after them. Now, because animals are property, because the law views them as nothing more than economic commodities, the only welfare reforms ever passed, and the only welfare reforms that had ever been passed, are ones that are economically efficient for animal exploiters. For example, quite a while ago, PETA announced victory because KFC in Canada had moved to controlled atmosphere killing, which basically means that the chickens are gassed instead of stunned and have their throats slit, which are both extremely horrible ways to die. Now, this was not done by KFC because they really value the lives of their hens. It was done because it was cheaper. It meant less carcass damage and bruising and lower labour costs. If someone was going to set up a chicken slaughterhouse today, then they would do it as controlled atmosphere killing, not because of animal welfare, but because it is more economically efficient. Even PETA admits that in their submissions to KFC. Although it's not limited to controlled atmosphere killing, we've had welfare reforms for animals for over 200 years, and they are all either economically beneficial or neutral to animal exploiters. The move from battery farms to enriched cages in Europe is being done because there are less veterinarian costs involved if you give the hens a perch. In effect, animal advocacy groups have become the animal industry's advisors to help exploit animals more economically efficiently. So even if we don't go after things like sow stalls or battery farms or humane slaughter acts, the industry will move away from such practices anyway because they actually cost more money than they're worth. And economics aside for a second, if we promote veganism and lots of people go vegan, then how is the industry going to react? They will respond by telling the public that they can make it better. In other words, they'll respond with welfare reforms. They'll recognize that they're losing customers and will try to get customers back by making their exploitation a little bit nicer. So welfare reforms are going to happen anyway, so wouldn't we be better off to spend our time and money on promoting the one thing that the industry is never voluntarily going to move to? Ethical veganism. Now I'm going to be playing a little bit of 8 Foot Sativa. They're all vegan apart from one member, and right after that I'm going to be continuing with the problems of animal welfare, talking about how animal welfare reforms make the public feel better about consuming and exploiting animals.
For the scoop on Community Radio Hamilton's great range of access radio shows, check out this Saturday's Waikato Times. You'll find our latest program schedule, listing more than 100 programs by, for, and about our community, every week in the Waikato Times.
That was Emancipate by 8 Foot Sativa, and you're tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. Check out the official blog at fftradio.com, check me out on Twitter at fftradio, or on Facebook at Food for Thought Radio. Now I'm going to be talking about how animal welfare makes the public, in effect, feel better about exploiting animals. When animal advocates put their sticker of approval on dead animal parts, what message does that send to the public? When we say to the public that we're ending our boycott on KFC because now they gas the hens instead of slitting their throats, what message does that send? It sends a message to the public that some forms of animal use and exploitation are okay as long as they buy the free-range meat and animal products that have certain groups' sticker of approval. Now, some welfarists defend their position by saying that welfare is a stepping stone towards veganism. They often say that they first ate free range before they went vegan, and there are many people out there who also have to do the same thing. Whilst it is true that some people eat free range and then become vegans, the vast majority just continue to buy free range, and whenever the issue of veganism comes up, they just tell themselves that they're already helping animals and that they've already done their part. And they don't have to tell themselves, animal advocates are telling them that they are doing their part by buying free range corpses. In fact, free range is often a stepping stone backwards, and today many people are eating meat after being vegetarian or vegan for several years. To quote Chris Lamb of the Meat and Livestock Commission, no pun intended, if there is someone who is vegetarian for ethical reasons, the fact that there are now organic, outdoor-produced farm shops that will make the whole thing look more acceptable, that gives them an easier access point back. In fact, as was talked about in an article on Dissident Voice, one vegan has decided to start eating meat again and in fact become a butcher, all because a few animal advocates promoted free range and animal products. He labels himself as the ethical butcher and writes, after 14 years as a vegetarian and quite a few of those as a militant vegan, I became a butcher. The factors that went into making me take the position are many, but the result is maybe quite predictable. Within a month, I was a full-fledged meat eater. What has not changed is my passion for the welfare of animals. Through my work as a butcher and chef, I now see a more direct way to influence and work for change in the meat industry and to improve the quality of life for all the animals we rely on for food. In fact, even the author of the vegetarian cookbook, Moosewood, is now eating free-range meat. These are not isolated stories. Just Google search something like vegetarians eating meat or vegans eating meat, and there will literally be thousands of stories about vegetarians and vegans who have gone back to eating free-range animal products. Now, free-range reinforces the idea that animals are property. It reinforces the idea that it's okay to kill and exploit them so long as we do it in an appropriate manner. It does nothing to eradicate the property status of animals. As long as animals are property, their interests will never truly matter in a legal sense. Free range is making the public feel better about animal exploitation, it makes non-vegans feel good about themselves, and it even makes some vegans go back to eating animal products. Free range is not a step in the right direction, it is a step backwards, and we should instead concentrate our time, efforts, and money, all of which are very limited, on promoting ethical veganism. Now I'm going to be taking a short break and playing some Alkaline Trio, but right after that, I'm going to be discussing the final problems with animal welfare. The first is theoretical, and the question is, would you promote humane child rape, pornography, or murder, or would you promote humane slavery, or any other of those sort of human rights violations? And my final, last but certainly not least, objection is that animal welfare accepts defeat before it even starts. But before I get into any of that, here's some Alkaline Trio for you.
You're listening to The Youth Zone on Community Radio Hamilton, sponsored by Youth Town, the place for physical, social and creative experiences. Youth Town is a non-profit organisation delivering quality programs, workshops and events for young people across New Zealand. Whether you want to learn new skills, make new friends or just have fun, Youth Town has something to suit everyone between 5 and 18 years of age. Youth Town, serving New Zealand youth since 1932. For more information, please visit youthtown.org.nz.
It's been a long time since I felt so sick. I took a long walk straight back home. I could have walked back to San Francisco. I used to long for time alone. I used to long for a place of my own. And I'm losing faith in everything. I'm lost, so lost, I'm lost at CUC. Casket to call my own. I never had a problem facing fear, but I'm done over and out, my dear. And oh, mercy me, God bless catastrophe. But there's no way in hell we'll ever live to see through this. So drive yourself insane tonight. It's not that far away, and I just build up your tank. So sick, I took a long walk straight back home. I could have walked back to Chicago. I used to long for time alone. I used to long for a place of my own. And I've lost faith in everything. I'm lost, so lost, I'm lost without you. Oh, losing me, God bless catastrophe.
That was Mercy Me by Alkaline Trio, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton, Food for Thought. Check out the official blog at fftradio.wordpress.com. Now I'm going to be discussing the last two problems with animal welfare, and I'm going to finish off the thoughts in this episode with a poem that I've written called I Will Never Feel the Sunlight. The first problem, it's actually a bit of a question for welfareists. Would you promote humane child pornography, rape, murder, humane slavery, or any other humane human rights violation? Now, welfareists campaign for bigger cages, faster slaughter, that kind of thing. Yet, would they do this in a human context? Should a human rights activist tell people who watch child porn to only watch certain videos where the kids aren't beaten up as much? Or should they focus on the abolition of such videos? If we wouldn't have campaigns for humane child pornography, rape, murder, or human slavery, then why have campaigns for humane animal exploitation? If we as vegans truly believe that animal exploitation can never be humane, then we should never pretend it is. And it is immoral to tell the public that it is, just as it is wrong to tell the public that there are humane human rights violations. Now, welfareists often say things like, isn't it better to be killed painlessly than it is to be killed with lots of pain? Yes, obviously less pain is always better than more pain. It's better not to be tortured before you're murdered, but that doesn't mean that torture-free murder is okay. And it doesn't mean that we should promote torture-free murder. Welfareists seem to think that the only options are more exploitation or lesser exploitation. But there is a third option, no exploitation, and that is what abolitionists work for. It's not a matter of promoting welfare or promoting nothing, it's a matter of promoting welfare or promoting veganism. Why on earth would we want to waste time fighting for bigger cages when we could be fighting for empty cages? As Gary Francione often says, it's a zero-sum game. Every dollar we spend on welfare reform is a dollar that could have been spent on promoting veganism. Imagine if we used all of the animal movement's billions of dollars and spent all of that on non-violent vegan education. We may not be able to get a vegan world overnight, but we could majorly shift the animal rights paradigm and get huge amounts of people to go vegan. We would have a massive effect overnight with that billions of dollars and the millions of hours of volunteer time that are put into promoting welfare reform. The final problem with welfareism is that it accepts defeat before it even starts. Welfareists claim that very few people are actually going to go vegan, so abolitionists are wasting their time. They have very little faith in humanity, and they say that vegan education cannot work, despite the fact that there has never been a significant vegan movement, and animal welfare reform has always dominated the animal movement. They say that veganism is viewed by the public as too extreme, but there's only one reason that the public views veganism like that, and it's quite simple. No one promotes veganism. If all of the billions of dollars we had were spent on promoting veganism, and if animal people weren't afraid to talk about veganism, then it would not be seen as so extreme, and it would become very much mainstream. Now, if we want to get veganism into the mainstream, then we have to promote it. It's not going to get into the mainstream if we just keep quiet about it. The abolitionist movement is still very young and very small. Advocates today should see their work as setting the foundation for the next generations. If we want any real change for animals, then we need more vegans before we have any political power. And we're only going to get more vegans by promoting veganism. I'd like to finish off this radio show with a poem I've written called I Will Never Feel the Sunlight. I am a captive who will never be free. In a year or so, they'll likely murder me. I am a slave forced to produce for you. My hopes and dreams I never will be able to pursue. I am a prisoner, but I have committed no crime. Waiting in death row, soon it will be my time. I am a victim of human greed. I will be killed for trivial wants, not for a need. I am the oppressed and I don't know why. They think they are superior, but I know that is a lie. I am the weak, the tortured and the downtrodden. You considered my pain a while ago, but by now you have forgotten. I am the innocent, for I have done nothing wrong. Born into a world where I just don't belong. I am the exploited, the product of your prejudice. Maybe one day you will see that you're not so different from us. I will never feel the sunlight brush across my face. Instead, I'm locked up in this hole for the benefit of the human race. I will never feel the wind rushing through my hair. The only things I ever feel are sadness and despair. I will never see a sunset or stars up in the sky. All I can do is sit inside this prison and wait to die. I will never see the ones I loved, not even my own child. For like many other prisoners, they have been dead for quite a while. I will never have a name, just the number tag on my cage. Days and nights blur together, now I don't even know my age. I am the one you have broken, shattered, and destroyed. The products of my pain you have selfishly enjoyed. I am the one who secretes your food. It is my agony that you have chewed and chewed. I am the one you will eventually eat. My secretions weren't enough, soon I'll be little more than meat. I am the one whose skin you all will wear. I wish it didn't have to be this way, if only you would care. I am a prisoner, but I have committed no crime. I take a deep breath in, my final breath, for all of time. Thank you for listening to Food for Thought Radio on Community Radio Hamilton. Make sure you tune in next week. I'll be continuing this theme with a few frequently asked questions about animal rights. And I'm going to finish off today with a little bit of Goldfinger.
more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, visit www.communityradio.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Cheers, New Zealand On Air.